Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jadeveon Clowney will speak to the media today. We'll have some of that in just a little bit. Stay tuned for that. High noon, silly underdog picks. We're excited about that. Right now, we talk with the GM. He is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Floyd Reese. Floyd, what's going on?
Speaking of silly underdogs.
I'm
doing great. How are you guys?
We're excited about the NFL season beginning tonight, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Chiefs follow up this season after, you know, being the Super Bowl champs, and what a lot of pressure on the Texans and Bill O'Brien, not as a coach but as a GM, when you trade away your star receiver and you get David Johnson, and they've been nothing but ridiculed and bashed in the offseason, but they've been kind of the team to beat in the division. You do wonder, will that sink them, or will they be able to rise to the top yet again?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be – tonight is going to be interesting on so many different levels. You know, we've been so long without football, so, you know, finally the NFL fan and us all can maybe exhale a little bit. You know, kind of we've been holding our breath for so long. And now we see it on the horizon, in fact, a few hours away. So that part of it is really good. I think the second part is, of course, you know, we're going into a season with less knowledge about any of the teams than we've ever had. And, you know, there's going to be, you figure on each and every roster, there's going to be anywhere from, you know, maybe 5 to 20 players that you've probably never heard of. You know, that are going to be playing, covering kicks and covering punts and doing some things like that. So, there's an awful lot up in the air. I'm not sure I expect some really, really, you know, finely tuned precision type football as much as I'm kind of expecting, to go out there and it's like a gunfight. Everybody's going to be pulling their gun and shooting. Now, are they going to be able to hit the target? That's going to be another question.
We talked yesterday about Jadeveon Clowney, like how many snaps should he take on Monday night. He got to Seattle last year just in over a week's worth of time. Honestly, it's going to be about the same time frame. And he played in 46 snaps in their first game of the season against Cincinnati. How would you approach that if you were the general manager? If you had pulled the trigger and signed Clowney in the same time frame that the Titans did, and he's coming in right away, and he's got very little time to prepare, and you've got a big game in Denver to kick off your season. How would you approach it if you were GM?
I don't think you could do it any other way than to be very cautious. You just don't know where he's been. I think when you go through the process and you know you're going to be taking trips, and you know you're going to be visiting with coaches and maybe even working out in some spots, you know, I'm wondering if you don't keep yourself maybe in a little bit better shape. You know, he's been since whatever it is, March, without doing anything officially. And, is he the type of guy that's going to keep himself in shape? You know, that's another one of those questions we don't know. But I think, like the process, we're relying so very much on Mike Vrabel and the other coaches that have worked with him that, you know, they're steering us correctly and, you know, giving us what they know. And what they know is that they think he's going to be in some kind of shape to come in and play. Now, how much, how long, the weather's going to be cool, it looks like, and that's going to be good. You're going to be in Denver. Maybe that's not as good. So, It's going to be a little nip and tuck for both he, you know, and Beasley. You know, guys like that that we just don't know a great deal about yet.
Floyd Reese on the line with us can be heard every day here on these airwaves, 2 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. You've been really – you were very outspoken and pretty vocal, at least the times I was listening, on the kicking situation with this Titans roster. You said you'd go out and get Stephen Gostkowski. That, of course, played out. Let's just start with first, why were you so vocal? What did you not like with the two guys they had in camp?
You know, I think the unproven commodity, the thing you just don't know, and I think if history has told us anything with young kickers or kickers that have not had that kind of experience, that even if they end up being okay, they go through some growing pains. You know, they go through some issues. And unlike last year, you know, we made it to the AFC Championship game and didn't kick a field goal for like 8 weeks or something. You know,
it's amazing. I mean, I know
that's never ever going to happen again. And we're going to be playing enough close games, especially early here, that a kicker with some kind of a track record, something you can rely on, is going to be really, really important to Vrabel and the coaches, you know, to help them make the correct decision. Because, you know, you can't – you go in expecting to make a 40-yarder and, you know, you don't. Well, that's one thing. But you go in with a 50 or 55-yarder and you say, oh, golly, this guy's, you know, just – that's going to be a real struggle. Well, that changes your mind on what you may do on a 4th-and-2 or a 4th-and-1.
Let's go back to whenever you had Rob Baronis in camp and you had the German kicker that everybody thought was, I think his name was David Hasselhoff. I think I just made that up. But it was some German kicker that you had in there that everybody thought was kind of the, you know, the leading candidate. And it was Rob Baronis who beat him out. Here goes this guy nobody's ever heard of that came from the Arena League. I think that was in, what, 2005. Take us through that camp, and how did you guys come to the decision that it was Rob Baronis, that you're going to take a flyer and go into the 05 season with a guy nobody's ever heard of that used to play for the New York Dragons in the Arena League? How did you come to that conclusion?
It was sheer luck. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I think we felt like, and rightly or wrongly, you know, along the same lines of the young kickers that come in and kind of find their way, you know, historically, the pattern for kickers is if they're going to find a way to make it in the league, they're going to be through 2, 3, 4 teams. You know, they're going to give it a try, and then they're going to get beat up and get fired and give it another try, and they bounce around and bounce around. And Rob had been through that. And we felt like he had finally gotten to a point where he understood the stress. He understood the impact of the job and the things that he was going to be expected to do. Rob had never really been given a chance where he felt confident in himself or felt that others had confidence in him. And I think we had seen enough. You know, the one thing about the old Arena League is if you can kick in the Arena League, you've got a much better chance kicking in the NFL. You know, those real tight goalposts are not easy to kick through. And he had been through a lot of that. And I think we just kind of felt like, okay, we're going to bring this kid in. We're going to tell him it's his job. We're going to try to make him feel as confident as he can and hope that he can go out there and make a few. You know, he had really good kicking form. He had a strong leg. He had all of that. He had just never been in a position where he was able to really latch onto a job and say, this is mine. And I think one of the more important things we did with him was say, okay, you know, this is yours. We're not bringing anybody else in. You just go out there and kick the way that we know you can kick, and everybody's going to be happy. And it worked for a while.
We're talking to Floyd Reese, longtime general manager of the Tennessee Titans. You can hear him every afternoon on Jared and the GM starting at 2 o'clock. And, Floyd, one of the lessons I learned over the years talking to you every week and then being on the show with you is you used to say, listen, if your roster is such that you've got holes all over it and you're trying to plug three or four positions with free agency, you're in trouble. But if you've got one hole and that's where you want to go with your free agent money, then that's maybe doable. So we look at the individual investment on Clowney and Vic Beasley, and you're like, oh boy, they spent a lot of money on guys where you're not really sure what you're getting. But that's a lot of money to concentrate, but it is on one spot. They knew that they needed help in that area. And so I guess it's throwing some money at, and it's a one-year investment, so you're not out too much long-term. But I think it's an interesting philosophy by John Robinson, taking a little chance, but spending some good money on an area that needed some help.
And I think they went out, like you said, Willie, and concentrated on one area. And we've talked on the show before, you know, January, February, early in the year, or maybe the day after we lost Kansas City in the championship game, you know, we said, okay, what do you have to do to be better next year? And I think everybody would have said at least three things, which was, you know, you got to get the quarterback back, you got to get the running back back, and you got to get pass rush. And I think that when you look at what they're, you know, they got the quarterback, they got the running back, that's obvious. And then they turned and addressed what they think is pass rush help. And we've talked about Clowney and his 3.5 sacks, and we all know where that is. But, you know, he had, when he was with Vrabel, he had 9, I think. And Beasley has had, you know, I think he had 15 in a season. Well, you know, if you even approach that, if you even, you know, if you were able to get 18 or 20 sacks out of these two guys, that would be phenomenal. And what kind of a difference would that make on your team? It might be truly dramatic. Now, am I expecting that? I don't think I can say that. But, you know that it is out there. You know that you've seen them do those things. And so even though, you know, everybody says correctly, hope is not a strategy, you know, you're kind of hoping that they can approach those numbers, and if they do, what kind of an impact can that have, not only on your defense, but on your entire team?
So let's put the pass rush aside right now. What is, as you look at their roster, what's their biggest weakness in your mind? What's your biggest concern going in?
You know, I worry about depth at running back, only because I think it's another area we just don't know much about. I mean, the young rookie running back may be the real deal, but you know, none of us can say that. I worry about a little bit of depth at corner, depending on the young guy. If the young guy can play, then you know you're going to have at least some depth and a lot more speed, which is going to be important. And I worry a little bit about depth at middle linebacker. You know, for quality players, for some, because we've got two guys in there now, you know, between Evans and Brown that we feel really, really good about. And as long as they're playing and playing the way they have played, I think you feel like, okay, we're pretty solid there. You know, who's behind them and what can you expect there? And there's really not a great deal of information about those guys, you know, not much that we truly know. So I worry about that a little bit, but, you know, other than that, I think it's a matter of guys stepping in and doing what you're expecting them to do. You know, it's like we talk about with the receivers. Davis jumps out and has, you know, the best season of his career, which is not outrageous to think that, you know, now, and we're not talking about 110 receptions. You know, we're talking about, hey, go out there, have the best year of your career. Get 75 passes. If you take the slot, you say, okay, we're going to run the slot out there. We've seen him catch 65 passes. So you know that it's in him. Now can we get him to catch 65 again? You know, AJ goes back out and has another great year. Janu, for whatever reason, Janu, you know, gets himself in a position where he goes out and catches 45 or 50 passes, which I don't think is outrageous. You know, it would be a great year for him, but it's not like you're talking crazy. You know, you start getting things like that happening, and then all of a sudden you're going, wow, you know what, we throw the ball pretty well. And you become one of those teams that maybe you take another step forward.
We're talking to Floyd Reese, the former GM of the Tennessee Titans, and of course, Jared and the GM 2-6 weekdays. So, Floyd, you brought up those young guys, and where I was going to go with it, you put your coaching hat on from your coaching days. Usually, you'd have preseason games that you could play through. You would have had all the OTAs, but they haven't had a lot of the learning time that a rookie would usually have in a season. So, when you're having the conversations, whether it's on the sideline during the game or if you're in the booth and over a headset, are you just making it as simple as it possibly can be not to overwhelm them in their first game? Or do you have to go, hey, this is the NFL, so you're going to have to grow up maybe a little faster than you thought, and you just have to hit it like you normally would?
Well, I think if you go in there, and one of the good things, one of the maybe the real advantages when we look at long term that the Titans may have is that they do have experience. You know, you look at the offense, and you have no new starters. You know, everybody, you could literally run a game plan that maybe you ran last year, and everybody on that team would have an idea what to do. If the defense stays the same, and we're assuming the defense is going to stay pretty much the same, you could probably do the same thing, you know, except for Beasley and Clowney. But if you had to go in with Landry and Correa, you know, you could run the game plan you ran against Baltimore and still be okay. When those young guys get in there, whenever they do and at whatever spot they do, I think you do have to be smart, Chase. I think you're exactly right. I think you have to be, you know, here's a play that we've only run three times in camp. Let's call that. And you go, whoa, whoa, wait a minute now. You know, Reese is in there, and Reese has never run that play. And you know what? We need to be sure that we can run something that big dummy can run. And so, you know, you maybe take a step back and say, okay, here's a play that he's run 25 times. Okay, let's let him run that. And I think you're probably going to have to be smart for a minute, because truth is, you don't know what you have with those guys. And we've said this before, and we all know this. You know, you watch a guy in practice, and he may light it up, look like the best player on the field. You get in a game, you can't find him. And the opposite of that is true, too. You know, some guy in practice that doesn't do anything to impress you all of a sudden gets into a game, and for whatever reason, when he puts the silks on, he thinks he's, you know, Hall of Fame material. And we're going to have maybe a little bit of both of those, you know, situations. And so I think, you know, you're going to have to be smart with everything you do and however it works out, whoever's in the game, whatever the situation is. You know, the situation football that they've been so good at for so many years, I think, you know, there's a possibility there's going to be a young guy in there that maybe hasn't been through that situation. And it's 4th and 1, and there's, you know, 30 seconds left on the clock, and we have to be able to do these two or three things. Well, he may not be, you know, coached up in those areas as much as you'd like.
Floyd, whenever you read through predictions and all of that, a lot of folks will go to the roster, and they'll go, well, this roster is better than this roster. They acquired this player, and that's what we all do. But when I look at this division and one team in particular outside of the Titans, it's the Colts. Yes, I like the moves that they made, but I also really like Frank Reich. I think that Frank Reich has come in there and established himself as the head coach. He's well respected as a play caller. You've obviously known him from when he was a player, but why do you think it's worked out so well with that organization with Frank Reich?
I just hate that guy, you know.
I know.
But you're right. I mean, they have done a great job. They really have. And I think, I think when I look at, for example, their schedule, I am scared to death that they are going to get on an early run and that people may not be able to catch them. You know, because I look at a bunch of their early games, and they've got a chance to win a whole slew of games in a row. And you know how it is when a team gets on a roll like that, and they start feeling good about themselves, and all of a sudden they're playing twice as good as even, like you said, their roster made you think they could play. I think that's particularly scary with me with a guy like Rivers, you know, because I think he's going to be in a different situation than he has been. He's not going to have to go out and throw the ball 45 times for them to have a chance to win. They're going to have a running game. They're going to be able to play defense. Their offensive line is going to be able to protect him. So now, you know, you take the guy that you were forcing to throw 45 times a game and you say, you know what, all you have to do is go out there and throw about 30 times now. We're going to run play action. We're going to protect you really, really well. You know, take your time, make the right choices, you know, be accurate with the ball, all of those kinds of things. And I think Rivers can easily do that. And like I said before, all of a sudden they start feeling really, really good about themselves. And they're, you know, there might be such a thing. They're sitting there at a point in time and, you know, they've won eight in a row or something. And you're sitting here trying to go 4-4. You know, maybe you can't catch up from that.
He is the GM, Floyd Reese. Hey, Floyd, we appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
He'll be on 2-6 today with Jared Stillman, Jared and the GM, and joins us every Thursday at 11 here on Darren Donick and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
September is Blood Cancer Awareness Month, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. It's a global leader in the fight against blood cancer. Because cancer knows nothing of pandemics, we must unite as a community. We will bring light to the night of dark. Let's try that again. Bring light to the darkness of cancer by honoring and remembering those who touched by cancer and by rallying virtually as a community in support of LLS's mission on Thursday, November 12th. For more information and register, visit lightthenight.org. Once again, that's lightthenight.org. Silly Underdogs coming up at high noon. Looking forward to that. Elliot Freeman, our weekly chat with him, coming up at 1 o'clock. Speaking of 1 o'clock, tomorrow we will unveil Lee Sterling. We're going to start talking to him about games on the weekend, picks, good picks for you. And then we'll head right into pick six. That's all coming up tomorrow. So we are excited about that.
What kind a lot of good stuff for the fall here on the show.
Yeah?
Really excited about that.
What are we expecting tonight from the Chiefs and the Texans? I think the Texans are going to keep this close. I said earlier in the week, if we were doing this game in pick six, which is tomorrow, so we're not, I would take Houston and the points.
I like the points just because there's nobody has scrimmaged. Nobody has had any exhibition games. It's been different how you prepare. And I think that lends itself to randomness. And so that's why I like the points. I mean, it could easily be 50 to nothing like we've seen in some of those college games if the Chiefs are ready to play and the Texans aren't. But I just think you're going to see a little – I think it's going to look strange tonight.
Yeah,
in some form or fashion.
The line is 9, according to CBS. So Chiefs favored by 9.
That's actually gone down then.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Over under 54. I kind of think there's going to be – it's going to be high scoring just because of a lot of the things we've talked about. But I agree. I think it'll be closer. I lean towards the Chiefs to win it. But I think the Texans – number one, and all kidding aside, Bill O'Brien – part of his coaching job tonight needs to have been to remind his team of what happened in the playoffs last year and that embarrassment of you had this
lead. You mean when they were up 24-0?
Yes. When I walked in the studio after landing back in Nashville from Baltimore, and I walked in and you're doing the Preds game, they're playing the Winnipeg Jets, and I think it was like 1-0 in that game, and I sat here and Texans had control, they had the lead, and then all of a sudden – we're looking up at the TV going, uh-oh, this doesn't look good. And we know what happened after that. Kansas City came back and won. I mean, you got it. That's coaching 101 right there. You have to use that of, guys, we got absolutely embarrassed, so we need to avenge that. I know it's a regular season game, much different than a playoff game, but what better way to start your season, a season where so many people doubt you, by beating the defending Super Bowl champions at their place. So I think it'll be close. I think it'll be a fun game, unpredictable because nobody's played, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, remember, too, it wasn't just that they had the big lead in the playoff game. They, I believe, if I remember this correctly, did they not win at Arrowhead during the season last year?
The
I'm
Texans?
Pretty sure they did, yeah. It was the same day, I remember this because of where I was in Vegas, at the sports book that you guys were begging me to go to, when I think Deshaun Watson and company beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead with Patrick Mahomes quarterbacking.
Well, he was banged up a lot last year, so there were times when he didn't look like Patrick Mahomes, so maybe that was
the same. It was the same day that the Broncos whitewashed the Titans 16-0.
Oh, October 13th.
I'll look up the score.
Look up October 13th and see if indeed the Texans beat the Chiefs.
It was a good game.
I'm trying to look it up too, and for some reason I brought up 2018.
So do we want to make our predictions? Go on and knock that out, and then we'll hear Jadeveon Clowney to end the hour.
The Texans won 31-24 in that game. It was an exciting game. The Chiefs jumped out 17-3, and Houston came back. Now, isn't that interesting to think back to? Now, of course, we'd remember the playoff game, but I think the Texans certainly will go in there with some confidence. Knowing that they've played there a couple of times and they've held their own in both games, even though they melted down in the playoff game.
Do we want to make predictions?
I'm ready. Yeah.
Go on and knock it out?
Yeah, why not?
All right, let's do this. We're going to start in each conference. We'll start in the NFC, go to the AFC. Just want your seven teams that are going to come out of the NFC, and then just give me your division winners of those seven teams. Okay.
Easy enough.
That'll be that's just a save on time. And so, who wants to start?
Are we going division by division with our picks? Are we
just
going to go around?
Give the seven teams from the NFC. Willie,
okay.
You start.
I didn't know if we were going around or I understand, but
then I'm
going
to denote what your division winner is.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah. I'm ready.
Rather than just, you know.
So four division winners and three wild cards is what you want from us.
Yes. Seven teams. I'm ready. Here we go. NFC, Seattle, Minnesota, Dallas.
Hold on. I got to write this down.
Well, you
Seattle,
were the one that said
you were the one that's kind of rushing everything. You want to get going.
Minnesota, Dallas.
Yep. New Orleans.
Okay, so these are all your division winners? No, these are not your division.
Yes, these are division winners.
Okay, now your three wild card teams.
Tampa, Teddy B, and San Francisco. If anything, I am consistent.
Okay, so just recap. Seattle, Minnesota, Dallas, New Orleans are your division winners.
Yep.
Tampa, Carolina, and San Francisco are your wild card teams.
Yep.
Okay, Willie.
All right, I'll go in the same order as Chase. I will take the 49ers to win the West. I will take the Vikings to win the North. I will take the Eagles to win the East.
Boo.
I will take the Saints to win the South. My three wild cards in the NFC. Rams. Packers. Cowboys. Tampa Bay does not make it. The wheels fall off.
Hey, Tampa Bay. The Bucs are not going to shine, according to Willie D.
Wow. Okay.
Darren.
I will go with San Francisco. I will go with New Orleans. Oh, wait a minute. You went up to the north.
Yep.
I'm going to go Green Bay again, winning that division. I will go Dallas. And I will go New Orleans.
Okay.
My three wild card teams are as follows. Tampa Bay. Minnesota. And Seattle.
All right.
So we basically have this almost the same group of teams. Nobody believes in the Giants. Nobody believes in the Washington FT. Nobody believes in the Bears. Nobody believes in Detroit. Nobody believes in Hotlanta. Nobody believes, well, one believes in Carolina. Sorry about that. Nobody believes in Arizona. One vote for the Rams. One vote for Carolina.
Arizona could be the out-of-nowhere team.
I think they're 8-8. They're 8-8, and they'll be the sexy pick for the following year. Now on to the AFC. Chase.
All right. Going in the same. I'm going northwest, east, south is how I have this. Baltimore. Kansas City.
Hold on. Okay.
Buffalo. And in the south, the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
Wild cards. The Steelers. The Colts. And you can't call them dead until they're dead. The New England Patriots.
Ooh. Chase, our picks line up pretty similarly. Pretty similar.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
Well, if it's like hockey, it'll be okay.
Pretty similar. We'll see.
Willie.
In the north. Got to go with the Ravens. In the west. How can you not pick the Chiefs? In the east. I do like the Bills. And in the south. Give me the Titans. So Chase and I completely agree. Completely agree.
Yep. Okay.
Wild cards as follows. Steelers. Colts. And I don't know how mathematically it's going to happen. But I had to take one wacky pick. I will take the Browns.
The Brownies.
It's a wacky pick. Somebody's going to come out of nowhere.
You don't have New England or Tampa in the playoffs. Forget winning the division.
It's going to be an unhappy divorce.
Neither team in the playoffs.
An unhappy divorce between the two.
So Tom Brady, after two decades, is not even going to be in the playoffs.
Something weird is going to happen. This is a weird year. Something's going to happen. It's weird.
Yeah, okay. And I think it's Cam Newton leading the Patriots to the playoffs because nobody believes in him.
I couldn't have the identical picks as Chase. That's just too crazy. That's also too weird.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to start in the north where we went yesterday. Got a update from Gary Stein. I just don't know how you could pick against Baltimore. I don't know how you pick against KC. I mean, this is just going to be chalk in that. I'm going New England until they're unseated. I'm not taking them. I mean, Buffalo, that's a lot of pressure. Nobody ever wins that division but New England. I need to see somebody beat them. Lord knows the Jets aren't going to do it. Miami's not ready yet. Buffalo's the only hope. I still pick New England to win the division. I go Indianapolis as the division winner in the South.
Okay.
So Baltimore, KC, New England, Indianapolis. My wild card teams. Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
No surprise there. Buffalo.
Okay.
And Willie stole my thunder. The sexy pick is everybody taking Pittsburgh. I have Cleveland getting in. Nobody's talking about them. They got a new head coach that actually maybe knows how to be a head coach. Nobody's talking about them. There's no pressure. It's more about Pittsburgh bouncing back. Nobody's forgotten. You know, nobody's talking about the Browns. It's like they've pushed them back to – expect 2-14. This is the year they sneak in and they get in. So I don't think Pittsburgh, I just don't trust Big Ben. If he goes down, they're toast, as we saw last year. Although they did a great job with makeshift quarterbacks. So I went Baltimore, KC, New England, Indianapolis, Tennessee, Buffalo, Cleveland as the three wild card teams.
Okay.
It's a little bit different than you guys.
Wow, so maybe I'm not that crazy. Go Browns.
So no Dolphins, no Jets, nobody believes in the Bengals, nobody believes in the Jags, nobody believes in the Texans. All three of us have Houston out of the playoffs, which is pretty unbelievable. Nobody believes in the Broncos. Nobody believes in the Chargers. Nobody believes in the Raiders.
Is there a team that either one of you left off that you go, they could be the surprise? Like, you're not picking them. You're
Arizona.
Arizona, and here's one for you, the Raiders.
Those are my two. Those are the two that
I think
Las
Vegas could be a sneaky pick, but not enough for me to pick up to get in.
Denver, maybe a week ago, would have been in this conversation, or really a few days ago would have been in this conversation, but I just, overcoming Von Miller being out, that's going to be tough for them. And
I'll give you one more.
The Raiders are interesting, though.
But this is another wacky one. The Jets.
No chance.
No. No way.
7-9 last year.
No chance.
No way.
They're better than they were last year.
Are they?
7-9.
Are they?
Darren, they played a quarter of the season last year with you and me playing quarterback.
Robbie Anderson was their best receiver, and it wasn't even close, and he's gone.
Right. And who was throwing?
Sam Darnold?
For part of the season. And when he was, they actually did pretty well.
Okay, who's their receiving core?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Listen,
here we go.
Don't worry about it.
This is how I feel. This is how I feel about your prediction.
I didn't predict them to get to the playoffs.
No, I know
for a reason. But I'm just saying, if it goes, it could fall. The Jets have everything fall together about every 7 or 8 years. It's kind of like the Mets.
But this is what I'll say. By mid-season, Greg Williams is the interim head coach.
I was going to say Gase is fired.
Gase is out. Greg Williams will be an interim head coach again. Because he's the DC.
Yeah, I don't see the Jets at all. I'll be curious to see what Burrow can do in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
They're probably about a 5-win team.
Probably.
Maybe 6. I would say 6-10 would be a good season for them.
But, you know, if he's got A.J. Green, which who knows? Who knows? But if he does, then, you know, that's at least a go-to guy.
Well, Tyler Boyd is their number one.
Tyler Boyd.
I don't know how you can. I mean, I guess A.J. Green, but, I mean, the dude hasn't played in 2 years.
Here's the Jets wide receivers, if you're curious. Darren brought it up. Rashad Perriman, Jamison Crowder, Chris Hogan.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Chris Hogan's not bad.
Oh, yeah. Rashad Perriman. How many teams has he been on?
He's been on a few.
Yeah.
He's been around.
He did backup vocals for Journey. Okay? That guy's a journeyman for sure. That is not good.
That's a good one.
A poor receiving core. Poor.
At Music City Bets on Twitter says, a lot of folks are sleeping on Detroit. I got a feeling about them this season. I don't.
Stafford, people
like
have Stafford and Roethlisberger as the two shoe-ins for comeback players of the year. It's a lot of ifs and buts, right? We'll see. They both got to stay healthy. I mean, I would trust Stafford more than I would Roethlisberger at this point.
Now, see, I probably would go the opposite. And I know that's saying a lot because he hadn't been able to stay healthy. But when healthy, I trust Roethlisberger just as a quarterback.
Right, but that's not what I said. I said it's all about the injury part and coming back. I didn't say who do I trust more. Roethlisberger, when healthy, is a no-brainer. But when's the last time he was healthy and he's not getting any younger? And, oh, by the way, what's been the knock on him over all the years? How's his fitness in the offseason?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I think.
Not very good, is it?
His
I don't see
back
him
been,
running up hills with Derrick Henry in the offseason.
His bounce back has been sort of an assumption, and I don't know if you can make that assumption. It's that will be one to watch. Now, I can't remember. You had Tampa in the playoffs, Chase, correct?
Yep.
Darren, did you have them in?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm the only one that thinks it could collapse. I just feel like there's so much talk every day on the national shows is something about the Bucs. And I see why, right? It's a very sexy story.
Yeah. Who would you trust more, Brady or Baker Mayfield in that spot of hype? I'll trust the guy who's been there, done it forever.
I go back to what I have been thinking along when we had the discussion of should the Titans go down the Brady road. And we did it the day after they lost in the AFC Championship game. He's going to be he's 43. I just don't know. I think that Father Time will catch up at some point. And this could be, I think that's going to be part of the issue. Also, just trying to put all the pieces together, it just looks too good on paper, but you can't do it on paper, and you don't have all of the workouts that you normally have. Maybe it'll be a great story. I just think it's not going to come all together.
Listen to this very carefully, and Elijah, save this audio, okay? If your prediction is right and Tampa Bay and New England do not make the playoffs, both of them do not make the playoffs, I will take you and your entire family out to the restaurant of your choice.
Oh.
Got it?
Oh, man.
Save that audio.
Okay.
This is big.
Okay. That's great. And you're saying not a gift card to Cafe Fontanelle or one of these.
No, I'm not gonna do that.
Restaurants is closed now.
I'm not gonna give you gift cards to Blue River Canyon. Okay. That's not in the
people are still mad at you for that a few months ago. You know, you promised people some gift cards.
Well, I got them if they want them.
That are out of business.
What are you talking about?
They were angry with you on Twitter.
I know.
You know how Twitter gets. They get angry.
I got it for them. It's up to them to go check it out. I've got the actual gift cards for them.
So you're saying a real dinner.
I will take you out to any dinner, any place you want in town. Your choice, if that happens.
Okay. How about if I'm wrong on both, just so I can reciprocate and
I have nothing small
on the line?
Because your odds are much
right.
You're getting
this?
Value.
I have
that.
To miss on if I miss on both.
Okay, there you go.
Then
if you
I'll
miss
take,
on both.
Then dinner is on us at the restaurant for you, Lauren and Maddox.
Okay. You hit on yours. Our family takes your family out. You guys pick the restaurant in town. We're picking up the bill.
Okay. So if it's in between, then it's a wash.
But if both make it. It's going back to you, right?
It goes back to me.
Okay. Deal. That is a deal. All right, we'll come back. Don't forget Silly Underdog Picks at high noon. We'll come back and wrap up the second hour next. Silly Underdog Picks coming up. 10 minutes or so.
I'm so ready for this.
One NFL, one college. The panel will make their picks. You, the listeners out there, go to our website, GameNashville.com. Make your picks. Get involved in our contest. You get 3 picks. We've had great numbers over the years participating. And we don't want that to change this year. Yeah, there's less college games. We know that. But we've now added the NFL to it. So we've got all the college games that are going to play every week and all the games in the NFL. So a little twist to this year's underdog picks. We'll recap quickly and say congrats one last time to last year's winner, and then we'll get after it. Kelly Holcomb and Forever Titan Chris Sanders will be a part of it. Willie is back as the commissioner, and Chase and I have work to do.
We do, but you know what? It's a new season. Told our club, guys, we can't focus on last year. We just have to come out. We have to play this game, take it week by week, and we'll be good to go. That's my coach speak.
Was that a little Is that from Hard Knocks? Did you get that from Hard Knocks?
There was a little Hard Knocks.
There was a little Sean McVay in there.
There was a little James Franklin in there. It was a mix.
Okay. All right.
James Franklin, I have to come up with some catchy thing, you know, like Vanderbilt or something like that. I used to roll my eyes anytime he said that. I'm like, shut
Vanderbilt.
up. He had a lot of them. 6 seconds at a time.
Was okay.
Oh, yes. That was a good one.
1-0 every week.
Honestly, I think that was the first time I started. I mean, they all do it now, but back then he used to always give the explosive plays.
Explosive plays was a big one.
All of his press conferences.
1-0 this week was absolutely in every press conference.
Every press conference was 1-0.
And it may sound like all that was dull, but he did it. He was not dull in those press conferences. Right, he had a lot of coach speak and a lot of sayings, but he was not dull. He managed to do that.
He absolutely
he did exactly what he needed to do.
Right, he knew the message he wanted to get out every week,
and it worked. I
mean, quite honestly, Mike Vrabel does the same thing.
Most
coaches do.
He does.
A lot of
coaches. Different.
It's different.
But there's a little bit of that in there for sure. You know, but
like
you
knew all week he was going to, leading up to this Denver game, he was going to talk about how they could not score on Denver. They still haven't scored on Denver. How great Vic Fangio is and his defense, right? You knew that that was going to be, and he's, you know, it's the same thing. It's what coaches do. It's like reminding your players, like, hey, don't forget, that's the team we played last year and got creamed. We got embarrassed. They embarrassed us last year. We couldn't do anything. 3 interceptions. They sacked us 7 times. We couldn't get to their statue in Flacco. 1 sack. We couldn't score anything. We got shut out. You know that. So there's a point to all that, right? It's to remind them. It's to let everybody know. So he kind of does it. You're right. It's different, but it's kind of the same. It's the same approach. It's to have a theme.
Yeah, I mean Jeff Fisher used to do that. Jeff Fisher was as soon as he walked to the podium, he knew he was in control because of the message that he was delivering. And I get that vibe from Vrabel and from Franklin and, you know, guys like that. They know they have to control the room, so they do.
By the way, $25 Burger Republic gift card on the line for this week's winner in Silly Underdog Picks. By the way, Nashville SC, they take on Atlanta United. This is Thursday.
Saturday
at 7:30. I was about to say tomorrow. I thought it was Friday. Catch all the action on 94.9. Pre-game coverage begins at 7:15. They made a big acquisition yesterday. They're looking for a little bit more scoring punch. They feel like they've gotten their guy. Did you guys see that?
Yeah. So Yonder Cadiz, I believe, is how you pronounce his name. He's on loan as a designated player for Nashville SC. I did talk to a few people about him, and one thing that Nashville SC has struggled with is having that striker, having that guy that can put it in the back of the net. You know, we equate it to hockey with that net front presence. And from the people that I've talked to, they think that this can be the guy, and it's going to take a couple weeks to go through all the protocols to get him ready to go. But he's 25 years old. He's going to hopefully add some scoring to this team because, you know, they have some talent that they've been putting together piece by piece. We know they've built around Walker Zimmerman, but having Yonder on there is going to be big for them. And some of these games that we've discussed that have been 1-0 or been 1-1 draws, you know, could become wins having his presence. So I think it's a big acquisition.
So he was playing in what, France?
Yes.
I think he's played for –
France,
and I know he was on the Venezuelan national team. I remember reading that.
Yeah, he was with Portuguese powerhouse SL Benfica, I think is how you say it.
Well, however you say it, this is the theme to me, and I don't know anything about this guy. You know, I'm not going to pretend to, but this ownership, keep in mind that they've had one game where they could have a gate. Right, they've had one game where they've brought in any revenue to speak of other than jersey sales and whatnot. And they're going out and making these moves. It's a great commitment I think, on the part of ownership to try to compile a competitive team in a hurry. I'm impressed with that. Because we learned the other day from Drake Hills, and he was trying to do it without getting too far into the weeds on the designated player. What's the term, Chase? You know, it's kind of like your franchise player. You can go up above the salary cap for one or two guys. They're doing it, right? This would be an easy year to say, hey, you know, we're an expansion team. Let's save a few pennies for some times where we're opening our new stadium or when, you know, we can have fans in our stands. They're going for it right now. That's impressive.
Yeah, and I mean, you add Yonder with Hani Mukhtar, who's a designated player. I mean, they're spending the money. But what's interesting, you look at another expansion team in Miami, they've spent a ton of money and it hadn't worked. So I think that Nashville's being very strategic with it. Mike Jacobs, the GM, I like what he's doing. And again, I'm not pretending to be an expert. I'm learning just like everybody else. But engineering these games, being around everybody has helped me to learn more about these players and, you know, what works, what doesn't.
We will come back, kick off the third hour with Silly Underdog Picks. That's next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.